Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
It's quarter number four of the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by DraftKings. 68 teams started the tournament. Only the best have survived. DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app, is putting new customers in the center of the action. Bet $1 on any tournament game, and if your team wins, you win $100. It's that simple. Pick any college basketball team that's still in the hunt for your shot at winning $100, and all it takes is a $1 bet on that team winning their next game. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code KSN when you sign up to turn $1 into $100 if the college team of your choice pulls off the win. That's code KSN for a limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only. New customers only. Restrictions apply. In partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino, see DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. It is quarter number four of the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante, along with Andrew P. Shea, Dustin Hawkinsmith. Before we get started with quarter number four, we need to announce our winner from our Ask Ross segment in quarter number three. Although Dustin voted for Ben from Florida as our winner, even though Ben didn't send us a question, Andy and I overruled him, and it's going to be Tom from Vermont. He's the winner. Tom, I will be getting in touch with you for the KSN polo shirt. All right, guys, since it's a little different lineup today, we're going to go with a little bit different kind of segment. Here's what we're going to do. I am going to give you my premise, a hot take of some type on the Penn State football team, and it's up to you to decide whether you agree or disagree with me or each other. And if we all agree on everything, it won't be that interesting a segment, so I'm looking for disagreements. Let's start with this. We had in our last segment where we had questions, a question about Sean Clifford. Here is my premise. Sean Clifford's struggles from last year are very fixable. New offensive coordinator Mike Yurcich is going to see to that. And come October 1st, we won't even be questioning the quarterback position anymore. What say you, Andy?
I don't think you can be an offensive coordinator and be a shiny new beach ball and fix confidence. Right? Like, I don't think an offensive coordinator can fix a player, particularly a quarterback, and the confidence. I think Sean Clifford is, I'll agree. I'm going to say by October. I think he goes back to basics and becomes a little bit better version of the 2019 quarterback that we all saw and thought was, this is just fine for Penn State. I think it all is based on his head and whether or not he keeps his head down or his head up and can keep looking downfield and run progressions. Because let's just admit it, guys. He stared down dudes last year, and that was part of his fatal flaw and letdown, was he just would not stop staring receivers down. Can he go back and be the confident enough in his basics and what he does well to not be a stare down, look at the only receiver I'm going to throw the ball to quarterback? And I don't think Yurcich can fix that. I swear to gosh. There's a lot he can do, but I don't think he can fix that. So I'll agree with you, Jimmy.
How about you, Dusty? I know you've been historically been a big fan of Sean Clifford's. Do you think last year was just a hiccup?
I don't think last year was just a hiccup. I think you saw pieces of that in 2019 too, some of the same kind of downfall type stuff. So I would be surprised. So when Andy says he agrees that we'll still be talking about Sean Clifford as an issue on October 1st, that's the agreement? Or you think those problems?
No, okay. I said the quarterback won't be an issue by October 1st.
Oh, I got you. I still think quarterback will be something that we're discussing on October 1st, mainly because, I know that they have spring practice this year where they didn't have spring practice last year, and there is more time and a better situation for Mike Yurcich to implement his offense and kind of bring that synergy together with the offensive line and the playmakers. But You also look at the schedule. You talk about going to Wisconsin. You talk about playing Auburn at home. I don't think we're going to see sterling performances in both of those games by Sean Clifford. Or I don't think you're going to see all the offense in his hands. I think maybe you see something that more resembles the second half of last year, where they lean on that running game and they play to their strengths immediately and let Sean Clifford grow into that. I think October 1st, we're not going to be in a position to say anything definitive about Sean Clifford, let alone he's playing so well we can forget about him.
All right, let's get to the next one, and it's your turn, Dusty. I've brought this up before. I'm going to bring it up again. Five running backs are going to be looking for carries. That's at least one too many. We'll have a running back transfer before the fall season begins.
I don't think it'll be before the fall season. I think this situation, it makes it, I don't know about likely, but it makes it a lot more likely that whoever slips into that number five position, there's a reasonable chance that they'll be looking for their options. Now, the best case scenario with five backs is that all of them stay healthy. You're able to mix and match. But that fifth guy, you don't really mix and match him a whole lot. There's just only so much ball to go around. If you fall to that five spot, it means that you did not compete well enough. You did not earn a spot higher on the depth chart. That happened to be Ricky Slade a couple years ago. That was a best case scenario where everybody was healthy. You had all those options. You mixed and matched, and Noah Kane emerged. Ricky Slade faded away. Journey Brown emerged. Ricky Slade, was the man, odd man out. Somebody's going to be the odd man out. It's not. I don't think these guys are going anywhere before the season begins, but I would be kind of surprised if all five of these guys stay healthy and somebody clearly is in the outside track at fifth on the depth chart after the year, perhaps, especially if it ends up being a guy like Devin Ford, who had such high expectations and that kind of thing. But in 2020, I should say, is the flip side. You saw the worst case scenario where you went from having a ton of depth to not enough depth. So I think you start the year with five and see what happens. But I think after the year, I would say there's a reasonable chance somebody transfers.
Yeah, I don't think there's a chance anybody transfers before the fall season. I disagree with the premise, Jim, and I think you're going to see a lot of or on the depth chart. And
no doubt.
I think the fifth, as much as you want the first guy to emerge or the lead guy to emerge, that will happen in that first month. And I think also the fifth guy will emerge right in the first month as well. You'll figure out sort of who's the fifth guy and who's sort of the fifth wheel in this. And they're both important to a degree because, like you said, the scenario that happened last year, but I don't think any of them transfer before because I think all of them see the same opportunity.
All right, Andy, it's your turn. We've got Tangelo, Ikabidi, Lovett, Eric Wilson, John Dixon, a plethora of transfers. And my take is they're going to be part of at least the rotation. They're going to succeed. They're going to do very well. And James Franklin becomes a transfer portal convert. And we'll see this kind of influx every year going forward of transfers. What do you say, Andy?
Would you call him a transfer portal? What was the term you gave James Franklin?
A transfer portal convert. Until this year, yeah, he hadn't really hit the portal.
Yeah, that's a no, because I think it's against his DNA as a coach. But I think he has to step into it. I disagree with the brand. I think he has to wade into this because of the way college football is moving. But does he become a convert? Boy, I think that's going to take some time for Coach Franklin to become a convert. And it's going to be based on results. Like, I'm a big John Lovett fan. I think John Lovett is the strongest candidate to have the greatest impact of the transfers for this Penn State team. I really honestly do. But he needs to see the results and the fruits of his labor before he starts to even think about becoming a convert.
Let's compare Penn State to an NFL team for a second. What are the most successful NFL franchises? They build and they build through the draft. That's the recruiting process. Right. They patch holes. They find unheralded gems. They find guys that are cost friendly and they're able to fill holes in their depth chart through free agency. The transfer portal it's not just like free agency. It is free agency in college football. Now, you don't abandon one approach in favor of for the free agency approach. You've seen time and time again, most of the time, if you splurge and you go all transfers, all free agents all the time, it's not a very viable long-term formula. James Franklin has been pretty clear that he wants to build through high school recruiting, building those developments early, getting those guys in your development system and having your hands on them and ensuring that they're developing in the way that you want them to develop. And then as needs and stuff arise, Penn State will be a player in the transfer market. It's not James Franklin's. I hate to agree with Andy again, but it's not ever going to be James Franklin's default position. He's a convert because he has to be a convert. He's a convert this year because extraordinary circumstances in the national level, the NCAA's free pass on eligibility made guys want to transfer. The market was ripe. They needed guys right away. There are going to be times just like this again in the future, maybe not quite as extraordinary, where you're scraping the bottom of the barrel at defensive end or linebacker, or your numbers just don't work out, unexpected departures, whatever. They will be a player when they need to be, but if James Franklin, if push comes to shove, he is going to build from within first, and I think that is exactly the right approach.
In the last minute and a half or so that we have, let's sneak in one more question. I'm going to piggyback on our friend Steve from Potomac, who had the negative take. I'm going to say this. I acknowledging the 4-5 season last year, a recruiting downturn in the last couple seasons, but here is my take, here is my premise. This season, if you want to call it make or break, I think James Franklin will not break. I think they'll be 9-3, put out an exciting offense. They will continue to have a big 22 recruiting class, and that's going to turn around the program, if you even want to call it a turnaround, after a couple bad years of recruiting and a 4-5 season last year. What do you say, Dustin?
I would agree with that sentiment in the fact that I don't think they need to turn anything around. I think just getting back on stable footing on both of those fronts, reestablishing yourself as a player in the Big Ten race, reestablishing yourself as a dominant force in the recruiting situation. I think they're pretty much there. I think they will have a nice year, nice enough to see them getting back on that trajectory again.
How about
I disagree.
Andy?
I think you're one too high at least. But I also say that say they go 8-4, 7-5, and I think the quality of their losses and who they lose to shines through as this was still a pretty good football team at that record. And that is what I see coming through. I think 9 wins is a very high ceiling for this group, particularly with, you know, question marks, and it goes to Sean Clifford. Sean Clifford could carry him to 9-3 or 10-2.
That is it for the show. Thank you, Andrew P. As always, Dustin, thank you for sitting in. And thank you all for listening. And be sure to join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
68 teams started and only the best have survived. DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app, is putting new customers in the center of the action. Bet $1 on any tournament game, and if your team wins, you win $100. It's that simple. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app and sign up using code KSN. That's code KSN, only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only, new customers only. Restrictions apply. In partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
In a world of over 100 hard seltzers swimming in a sea of sameness and mediocrity, a hero emerges. Introducing Seagram's Hard Seltzer, the greatest of all time. So go ahead, awaken your taste buds and bring the thrill back to bubbles with fruit-infused flavor combinations that are refreshingly new and deliciously different. Seagram's Hard Seltzer. Kick it with the GOAT.
Flavored malt beverages. Enjoy responsibly. The Seagram Beverage Company, Rochester, New York.